This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Today is just, it's a weird, odd day in the news, and a lot of weird stuff happening as well, and sort of a, I don't know, what's the word, a hodgepodge of stories, if you will. So look, last night, the all-you-know-what broke loose when the Trump administration announced that they were going to stop funding a Catholic Charities program. And at first I thought, okay, well, what's this all about? And the media is framing it that this charity is for illegal alien children in Miami. And the administration canceling an $11 million federal contract that helps to shelter and care for illegal alien children who enter the United States without a parent or a legal guardian. And now, according to the Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Miami, they may just have to shut down the program altogether. They've been doing this for some 60 years. And church officials say, this is from CBS News reporting, CBS News reports that church officials say the sudden loss could force the organization to end its operation tied to migrant children within the next 3 months. Now, they're trying to frame all of this as President Trump is doing it to get back at Pope Leo the Woke, who is the first American pontiff. And, of course, they've been embroiled in some sort of an unholy war. Ultimately, I don't think this has anything to do with it. According to one of the Catholic leaders, they feel very sad and disappointed. And the children that they have helped for so many years, they say it is unacceptable, totally unacceptable. And other Catholics in and around Miami are feeling the exact same way. Now, according to the Miami Herald, they've had historical success with government partnerships with Catholic Charities, referencing Operation Pedro Pan, which brought thousands. Is that like Peter Pan? Is that the Mexican Peter Pan? Sorry, I don't know. That brought thousands of Cuban children to the United States in the 1960s. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, wait a second, $11 million? We're giving Catholic Charities $11 million of our tax money? Why are we doing that? And I started doing some more research, and I discovered it's not just $11 million. That's $11 million for Miami. When it's all said and done, when you're adding up all of the money, and this is just for Catholic Charities, we are giving the Catholic Church, taxpayers, the government, the United States government is giving our tax money to the Catholics to the tune of $1.2 billion, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before the hate mail starts coming in, and before you guys, and if you want to light up the phones here and read me the riot act, I'm ready. I am loaded for bear today because I've got a big problem with our tax money going to the Catholic Church. And I'm going to say something else. I got a big problem with our tax money going to the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church and the Lutherans and everybody else. Yeah, the Jewish synagogues too, if they're getting tax money. Why are we giving a single penny of our tax money to a church or to a religious organization? Why are we doing that? And the way I see it if and I know.
You're just a big meanie. You hate children. I bet you hate puppies too, Starnes. You want to kill the puppies?
No, I don't want to kill the puppies. I don't want to kill anybody. I just don't want my tax money being used by a church. Look, I have a lot of Catholic friends. There are some people in my family who are Catholic, but I happen to be a Baptist. And I got a problem with the Baptists getting any money. And by the way, the Baptists are getting money out of Texas to bring in all of these illegal aliens. As a matter of fact, folks, one of the biggest offenders when it comes to trafficking people into the United States, it's coming from these religious groups. Now, if you want to talk about separation of church and state, which is not a real thing, but if you want to have that conversation, this is the time to have that conversation. Because the government has no business giving my tax money to any religious organization. And I think that truly crosses a line here. Now, let's just say, we'll take the reverse approach here. Let's say you're a Catholic and you find out that the government's giving $1.2 billion of your tax money to the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, as a Catholic, Catholics and Baptists do not agree theologically. There are major theological differences. And in some parts of the country, there is open hostility between the Catholics and the Baptists. How would you feel as a Catholic if you found out your money was being used to fund the Baptist Church? And for that matter, maybe, just maybe, if the Catholics are poor mouthing here, well, maybe they ought to consider selling, I don't know, Vatican City. Maybe they ought to start selling all of that high dollar artwork they've got. Again, if they're stretched for cash. But right now, I mean, if you're looking at a state religion in America, I mean, the UK, they've got the Church of England. It looks like the United States, the state church is the Catholic Church. $1.2 billion, folks. Could you imagine? And again, we're talking about all of the grift and all of the waste. But, Todd, it's going to feed people. Yet that is the role of the church. So, again, it seems to me that if the good Catholics down in Miami, and I have no doubt these are good-hearted people, I've got no doubt about that. But if they want to help all these illegal alien children, they need to do that out of their own charity. Because when you're literally taking money away from the taxpayers and giving it to the churches, that is not charity. That is stealing. That is theft. So I'm trying to understand all of it. It's the craziest thing I've heard. So I would say good for President Trump and the Trump administration for doing this. But honestly, there's a lot more. As a matter of fact, did you know the U.S. Council on Bishops, the U.S. Council on Catholic Bishops, they're getting upwards of $100 million of your tax money. Are you okay with that, ladies and gentlemen? Are you okay with your tax money being used to fund all these charities of the churches? And by the way, here's what gets me. I mean, you're sitting in a church and, you know, the pastor's asking for money. You know, we got to pay the bills. What are you guys doing with all that money you're getting from the government? That's what I want to know. I mean, if the church is struggling, then that tells me there is a spiritual problem. And that's how you fix that problem, not taking money from my paycheck. 901-260-5926. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926. People are calling. You're just mean. You're a hateful man. You're one of those people. Get off my lawn. Well, no, that's not me. I'm just saying, stop stealing my tax money. Or better yet, just let me decide what I want to do with my own money and how I want to support charities with my money, as opposed to saying, okay, all of a sudden, Todd Starnes is now one of the top supporters of the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, by the way, someone just sent me this. The Pope. Pope Leo the Woke, and he's going off. He's officially declared war on President Trump. So Pope Leo's out there, and he's in Africa right now, and he's giving all these speeches. So he's quoting from the Bible, but I want you to listen to what he says, because what he said is not actually in the Bible. Take a listen to the Pope.
Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers, but woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, or political gain, dragging that which is sacred into darkness and filth. Yes, my dear sisters and brothers, you who hunger and thirst for justice, who are poor, merciful, meek, and pure of heart, you who have wept, you are the light of the world.
Yeah, that's not in the Bible, at least not in the Bible we got in the Baptist faith, the good old King James Version. I looked. That's not anywhere in our Bible. I don't know where the Pope yanked all that out, but it was not from the Holy Bible. So look, he's in Nigeria, this guy, the Pope, Leo the Woke, and he's embracing Islam. You know, he's all about, we've got to reach out and we've got to be friends. And he said, all you people, the reason why you're scared of the Muslims is you just don't know any. And so you've really got to embrace the Islamic faith. You know what he has not done? Do you know he is in Nigeria right now? He's on a big tour of Africa. You know what this Pope has not done? He's got plenty of time to condemn Donald Trump for going to war against Iran, a country that is actively killing thousands of Americans and others around the world, a nation that is one of the leading sponsors of terrorism around the nation. He takes a pass at that, right? He'll attack Trump. How dare you? How dare you criticize Iran? Meanwhile, over 50,000 Christians have been massacred in Nigeria, and not a single word of condemnation coming from the lips of the American Pope. Not a one. And I don't know if maybe he doesn't know. Maybe nobody told him. Oh, by the way, that stench you smell, those are the rotting corpses of 50,000 Christians. Maybe nobody told him. Or maybe he just doesn't care. Or maybe he's just scared. Maybe the Pope can, he's looking at what's happening across, I don't know, Western Europe right now. And he's looking at what's happening in the United States of America. And he's realizing, oh man, we're in deep, what's the Catholic word for juju? Maybe that's it. Maybe the Pope's just a coward. But he, for whatever reason, the Pope will not condemn the Islamist. For whatever reason. Oh, I got a message last night. How dare you criticize the Pope? Who do you think you are? You have no right. He is God's emissary. Well, pal, I'm a Southern Baptist. When I take my petitions to God, I don't take it to a priest. I take it directly to the foot of the cross. And I got no beef with the Catholics. I got no beef with anybody. I just don't want my tax dollars being used to fund your religion. And I don't want your tax dollars funding my religion. And for that matter, who do you think you are to say that Pope Leo can attack President Trump, and yet President Trump is not allowed to fire back? Where did that come from? By the way, on this Islam thing, there's another report out, and I don't know what's going on in my home state of Tennessee, but we got big problems. So we have had a massive influx of Muslims into Tennessee, and now in the Nashville area, and that's where they're relocating most of this, in the Nashville area. And so now we have not one, but two taxpayer-funded schools that are completely embracing Islam. They're changing the schedules. Teachers are giving kids prayer rugs. They're feeding the kids whatever the Islamic food is. The Nashville Banner now reporting that yet another school, it's a charter school called the Valor College Prep, has installed a special bell that announces time for prayer. This is a taxpayer-funded school, ladies and gentlemen. Several dozen students are allowed to leave their classrooms, gather in the gym. Boys and girls line up in separate groups on prayer mats provided by the school, and for 15 minutes they pray. Afternoon prayer for Muslim students has been part of student life at Valor for as long as students can remember. It's a place where Muslim students can and do feel welcomed. And that's all well and good, but why are my tax dollars paying for this? That's my issue here. Why are our tax dollars funding all of this stuff? And let's not forget how all of this started back in the 1960s when the radicals and the atheists, they waged war to have God and Christianity removed from the public schools. And now you can't have nativity scenes. The Gideons are not allowed to come in, and the Gideons can't do anything. I'm just telling you, folks, wake up. Wake up, America. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. It's midnight. Sirens blare. You only have seconds to grab your child and run. Now imagine you're elderly. Your legs don't work like they used to. Getting downstairs feels impossible. And after all of that, you end up in a bomb shelter for hours, even days, because you can't make that trek again. This is what's happening across Israel as Operation Epic Fury continues. Children being traumatized. Families are exhausted. And homes have been destroyed. That's why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is there on the ground, bringing food, emergency equipment, care for children, and help for the elderly, supplying bomb shelters and medical centers with critically needed essentials. If you've ever wondered what it looks like to stand for Israel and stand for good against evil, this is it. Please act now. Give $45 right now to rush life-saving essentials to the vulnerable under fire. Call 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-IFCJ or go online ifcj.org. All right, let's go right to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Houston, Texas, Patriot Talk 920, Steve. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. You know, I hear people when they talk about separation of church and state, they will throw that up every time they talk about prayer in Congress or the Ten Commandments in Congress and schools. That's not what that meant, and it's not part of the Constitution. It's not a law. But where it came from was a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to Dansbury Baptist Church. And it was because some states like Maryland, they were predominantly Catholic, you know, Maryland, the Virgin Mary. But the Dansbury Baptist was worried that the government, that the state would sponsor one religion over another. And Thomas Jefferson said, don't worry, there will always remain a separation of church and state. Now, if our tax dollars are going to finance any religion, that is clearly what Thomas Jefferson was talking about. You know, it's government sponsoring one religion over another. And I agree with you 100%. You know, I don't want my taxpayer money financing, you know, any religion over another.
Not at all, Steve. And again, I have nothing against any of those religions. But if we would have started the show out by me saying, okay, what do you guys think about giving the Muslim Brotherhood $1.2 billion of our tax money? People would be wrecking automobiles on the interstate right now. We're doing what? And again, it has nothing to do with the religion. It's that the government has no business doing that.
Right, and I mean it. There's a lot of things our tax money's going to that I think if the American people knew, and if they knew the Constitution, that they wouldn't agree with it. But hopefully that stuff's going to get cleaned up. I mean, we're all hoping for it.
Well said. Steve, let's see what happens. And look, I'm glad the administration is doing that, but there's a lot of grift out there. And we just don't have the money, right? It's one thing if we were overflowing with extra cash, but we don't have the money, and we can't be giving, our government can't be giving to charity. All right, Steve, thank you so much for that call. Ladies and gentlemen, in the break, head over to ToddStearns.com or Amazon and pre-order a copy of my new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And everybody in D.C. is endorsing this project. Again, it's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can get a copy online, pre-order it right now at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, where you don't even have to go to the bookstore. You can order it, pre-order it online. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up, Congressman David Kunsthoff is going to be joining us, weighing in on this crazy story involving Haitian immigrants. We'll get into that in just a little while. Also, the massive scandals, the sex scandals that have already taken down two lawmakers, and we're hearing even more lawmakers may be getting the heave-ho. So we'll keep you updated on that. And Luke Symbol, our Republican strategist, joins us in the next hour. But right now, you know, Dylan, we had promoted this story on the air, I think Monday. Did we call an audible here and said, we've got to send Ian the intern down to cover the arrival in Memphis of the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile? Is that right? I mean, we were able to get him down there.
He is down there. He's at the Mobile right now.
So he's at the Wiener Mobile. This is a big deal. This may be the first time in American history where a conservative talk show host has actually done a live report from the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. We've got Ian the intern on the line with us. Ian, set the stage for us. What's happening, and describe what's going on right now.
Hey, Todd. Well, I am live at the scene of the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. Here I have one of the workers. I have at the grill Isaac to tell us about it.
Hello. How are you?
Isaac, are you there? Wow, this is great. So this is Todd Stearns. You're on national radio. A couple of million people are listening. I don't want you to freak out here or anything. So, but, you know, no stress at all. So tell me, why Memphis, Tennessee? Why did you guys bring the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile to our great town?
You know, we're here spreading the weenie joy in Memphis. We have a couple of locations and grocery stores and festivals that we're going to be at. So, you know, just spreading the weenie joy all around Memphis.
I love this. I relish the opportunity to talk with you, Oscar Isaac. This is fun.
It's buns and buns of fun here at the Wiener Mobile.
That's brilliant. So look, is this thing, so do you guys really drive? I mean, it's really large. You don't realize how big that wiener is until you're like right up on it. I mean, it's a really large wiener mobile.
Yeah, it's 27 feet long, yeah.
27 feet long. So you're driving this. So you guys, let's say you're on the interstate. Are people like honking? What's your reaction to people when they see the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile?
So we love to give big hot dog waves out of the windows from the Wiener Mobile when people are like honking and driving by, taking pictures. It's kind of like a parade everywhere we go with the Wiener Mobile.
How do you not smile? I mean, you know, when you're driving down the interstate and all of a sudden you're passed by a 27-foot long hot dog.
That's like the main goal of the Wiener Mobile, is just make your day a little bit better.
Are there any, I mean, you guys meet a lot of people. I know Ian, the intern, has like, he's like, I've got to be able to drive the car. Do you allow civilians to drive the Wiener Mobile?
So what you have to do to be able to drive the Wiener Mobile is actually go to a program called Hot Dog High. That's once you become a hot dogger, you go through this program to learn everything about the Wiener Mobile, including how to drive it.
Really? Is that right? So does it take a lot? Are you one of those people? Did you go through the course?
Yes, I did. I'm a now hot dogger, a proud hot dogger.
A proud hot dogger. Wow. Dylan, this is exciting. We've got an official hot dogger on the line with us.
This is very exciting.
Isaac, I have to ask you, you know, with the weather, you guys are different cities. You're not chilly, are you?
No chili dogs here. I'm actually from Texas, so I'm pretty used to the weather, you know, being
no
at the
chili dogs.
Well.
I love it. Have you guys been able to, I don't know what you guys do when, you know, let's maybe you're taking a break and you're sitting in the giant wiener. Are you guys like, do you come up with all the puns?
Yeah, I like to think that the Wienermobile, we speak for the Wienermobile, so puns tend to come naturally to us after being on the job for a while.
And what's this? We had a lot of calls from our listeners who apparently across the nation have been to the Wienermobile, and they say that you guys sometimes have swag. Is that true, like a wiener whistle?
Yeah, we do have some Wienermobilia, and the most iconic thing is the wiener whistle. That's what you can get every time you come out to the Wienermobile and see it, or you're at the Wienermobile in person.
Oh, somebody just honked the horn. That's all. Now, tell Ian, our intern, he can't come back unless he's bringing swag. So, you know, no pressure, but.
Yeah, we'll give Ian some Wienermobile before he goes.
Try to get some for the team.
I love this. So, well, this is, you know, it really is about Americana, too, I have to imagine. Everybody knows Oscar Mayer wieners.
Yeah, there's nothing more American or iconic.
This is true. Did you ever imagine, and Isaac, I'm wondering about the call back home to the folks, to the family, saying, you're not going to believe the job I just got.
Yeah, they were very excited to hear that I was going to be one of the few dogs to be able to drive the Wienermobile. They were very excited and very proud for me.
This is great. All right, well, we got to get a picture of Isaac. So, Ian, make sure we get a picture with you guys, and we'll put that up on all of our socials. So how long are you guys in the Memphis area, and where do you go from here?
We'll be here until Sunday. We actually have a couple of events. Like, we'll be at a couple more Super Lows this week, as well as the World Championship Wing Festival. And on Saturday and then on Sunday, we'll be at the Porter's Leah's 32nd Cajun Festival, Crawfish Festival.
Oh, wow.
On Sunday.
Well, this is exciting. So lots of opportunities. All of our KWAM listeners in the Memphis area, you guys will be able to go and check out the Wienermobile. If you can, Isaac, thank you for talking. If you can give the phone back to Ian, the intern here, we need to ramp things up here with him real quick. Dylan, this is exciting.
This is like one of the lifetime moments for all of us, I think.
It's like live radio. All right, Ian, are you back with us now?
I am back.
All right, do you have the wiener whistle? Have they given you a wiener whistle?
I have acquired a wiener whistle.
All right, Ian has acquired the wiener. I feel like we're like in a military operation here. All right, we've got to hear. I think we do need to hear what the wiener whistle sounds like, you know, out there in the field.
All right.
Is that
we're
it?
We're gonna need a better go at that.
That's not very good, actually. It wasn't exactly what I expected it to be. So, Ian, tell me about the inside. Have you been able to go inside the giant wiener?
I have not been able to go inside the Wienermobile yet. I hope to be able to go up there. I'm going to ask the staff about that. I'm going to try to get a video of the inside for us.
I think that's brilliant. And you've got to give us and we'll post all of that on social media. Are people around? Is there a large crowd? Because I have to imagine people are going to be shocked to see a giant wiener in that part of Memphis.
Oh, yeah. We've had about 4 or 5 cars stop just in the time during the interview to talk about it and ask questions about it.
Okay. I love this. This is fantastic. Are they serving hot dogs there by any chance at all?
See, that's what I was surprised about. It turns out they do not actually serve hot dogs at the Wienermobile.
Wait, what? That's somewhat scandalous.
Maybe you can cook the Wienermobile itself.
Or maybe it's out of respect for the giant wiener.
Maybe
you know?
It is, yeah. You got to honor that thing.
All right, Ian, so what's your? This is like a bucket list item for you. Your final thoughts here as we go to break.
Well, I think a marketing genius came up with this. I think it's a great idea and just such a fun thing to have, especially right now in the Memphis area.
Absolutely. By the way, is it bulletproof? Can we find out?
I don't think it's bulletproof.
All right. Well, we just ask the citizens of Memphis, don't take any shots at the giant wiener. Just, you know, let's... Let's treat our visitors with a little respect. All right, Ian the intern, don't forget that swag, and we'll work on the whistle. Thanks, Ian. Good job.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, well, there you go, Dylan. First live report in the field.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in the whistle. I'm not going to lie, I can't get that off my mind.
Yeah,
maybe it was the phone call. Maybe we just couldn't get a good listen there. When he brings it back, he'll do a proper
listen. He's a hot dogger. That's what they call the drivers, the hot
doggers. That surprised me too. You go a special certification to get a hot dog license. That's funny.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I'm surprised they don't have hot dogs. I would have thought they would be at least, you know, either serving them or giving you a pack.
Yeah. You would think that would happen. I also was wondering about the gas that the hot dog takes, if it's diesel or...
You mean after eating or driving? Oh, driving. I'm sorry.
Both. Maybe both.
Sorry. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Probably diesel. That thing is huge.
It's giant. 27 feet long.
Yeah.
And the bun, we should have had him describe the bun, but
the buns.
It's quite beautiful to see.
Wonderful buns.
It's America, baby.
Yeah.
America. All right. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, Dylan, people are still sending us their recommendations for favorite hot dog joints in America. We've created something here. We're on to something.
I think you're just making a lot of people think about hot dogs. And it's also lunchtime, so that doesn't help. Or maybe it does.
There was a place in Tucson, Arizona that I went to, and it was like it's a giant, like, outdoor, sort of like their version of Sonic, but all they serve are these hot dogs. They call them Sonora dogs. And I cannot remember the place. A couple of Border Patrol guys took me there, and it's like a big thing there, a Sonora dog, which is sort of like the hot dog of choice there in Tucson, Arizona. And I guess it's like Mexican themed. I think it originated in Mexico, and it's basically a bacon wrapped hot dog, which you can't go wrong there, right? And it's topped with pinto beans, onions, tomatoes, and others, including mayonnaise, which I'm not a big mayonnaise guy or a pinto bean guy, but otherwise it's a great hot dog.
Beans and mayonnaise. You lost me there.
Yeah, that is diesel right there, my friend. That is diesel. So anyway, but Ian, great job. We're posting some photos in the break over on the social media pages, and we'll get to all of that up and running. You know, I think it's interesting, the Wienermobile, they have six of them. And they literally travel all over the United States. So it really is a big deal. And as you heard, was it Isaac, the hot dogger himself? You got to go to a special school to learn how to drive that thing. You know, the problem is the bun is much smaller than the actual meat of the vehicle there. But
it is.
you folks in Boise, Idaho, they're at the Albertsons today and Lancaster, Ohio at the Children's Museum. So they've got, like I said, they're all over the place. And of course, South Haven, Mississippi, all of you people in northern Mississippi, you're going to be able to get to see the Wienermobile too. They don't even pay us for this. This is like free publicity. But we like to do our part. You know, it's America. You know, that's what America is all about. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, there is an interesting story in Boston where the mayor of Boston is really concerned about all of you gay illegal immigrants. And you cannot make this story up. So the Boston mayor, her name is, I believe, Wu. She is now handing out $500 haircut and massage vouchers to queer and transgender migrants and refugees. So if you're here illegally, you're going to be able to get a free massage and a haircut. Mayor Michelle Wu funding a new program that will also provide allowances. They're calling them wellness allowances to attend yoga classes and creative healing. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Right now, the city of Boston is dealing with a $50 million deficit, and yet they're able to scrounge up the money, taxpayer money, to make sure that transgender activists, or transgender people, rather, are able to deal with their mental health. The program covers non-clinical care, including yoga, meditation, creative healing, peer support, acupuncture, massages, hair salons, and gym memberships. This is nuts. So it's a big deal. It's called Project Belonging Matters, and the mayor says it's our way of saying you deserve rest. You deserve healing and community. Many LGBTQIA plus migrants carry trauma, isolation, and survival on their shoulders, often without access to care. The vouchers range from $250 to $500 and can only be used in Boston, with priority given to low-income, isolated queer and trans migrant asylum seekers and refugees. Critics were quick to bash the program. I am surprised by that. WTF, Democrat Boston Mayor Michelle Wu launched a program that gives vouchers to trans migrants so they can get yoga classes, all funded with your tax dollars? Another said, you thought they were just going to waste all that money you sent them today. That's a good point. It wasn't immediately clear how much taxpayer money will be used. Right now, they are accepting applications even while the city grapples with a $48.4 million budget deficit. I'm curious to know exactly what sort of massages are they talking about. And the yoga, too. Dylan, I was at the Shelby Farms Park the other day before they, you know, started shooting people. And I noticed there was like this huge crowd on the hill over the lake there. And what is it? The Baptist Promenade. That's the little trail around the lake. And I noticed all these people up on the hill and they were doing yoga. And I kept hearing meh, 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 meh. And I'm like, what is all that noise? And so I stop walking and I just sort of walk up the hill a little bit. And I realized they had like a herd of goats.
Oh,
it was goat yoga.
Wow.
And they had the goats. I don't know if you have ever seen this. And they you're doing your yoga stuff and they put a goat on your back.
Apparently it's really relaxing and they're usually baby goats, but you do risk them, you know, peeing or pooping.
I didn't even think about that. I was talking they were like headbutt you, or you know, they would like start eating your shirt or something.
Right. You know, they really missed an opportunity. Shelby Farms is known for having bison. They really missed a bison yoga, like a baby bison. I don't know, like a big one might.
A baby bison. Terrifying. So how would this work? So you're telling me they will put baby bison on the bags?
I don't know how heavy baby bison are. If it's like the hippo when it comes out, it's already like 2 tons. But come on, we have the bison there. They're having babies, apparently. So
I'm looking this up. How much is it? They weigh between 30 and 70 pounds.
Yeah.
You want that much weight on your back?
I thought yoga was a workout.
Good Lord. I don't know about that.
Goat yoga's fine, I guess.
Anyway, I'm thinking if you're goats, because the goats are pretty smart little critters too. And I'm thinking, you know, they're getting ready for, you know, queer yoga class. And the goats are like, yo, dude, we're good. We're good. I got to have some boundaries here. I'm just saying. I tried to do yoga once. That half moon turned into a full moon, and yeah, that was the end of that, as they say. All right, coming up, you're not going to believe what the Republicans are up to. They want to protect Haitian illegals. We'll tell you who's responsible for that. Also, Congressman David Kustoff on the way. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us for this hour of the show. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right. Before we jump into what Congress is up to, I want to go to the phones. Poor Don has been holding on for a little while, calling in about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Don, listening to us in Montgomery, Texas. Don, what can you tell us?
Hey, Todd. I have a Polaroid picture of my mother. She used to work at the IGA in Patterson, Louisiana. Of her and the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, late 60s, early 70s.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's, I had no idea the Wienermobile was that old. Wow.
Oh, yeah. And I saw it when I was living in Albuquerque. I saw it in Albuquerque. And there's the hot dog, the doghouse in Albuquerque is a good place to get hot dogs also. It was featured in that movie, the TV show, I forgot which one it was, about the meth and stuff. And then the Chicago Dog in Chicago is another great place for hot dogs.
Well, you can't go wrong with a good Chicago dog. I will tell you that right now. So they got the little with the celery salt, and you got the pickle spear and the peppers and the tomatoes. I mean, it's almost like you're eating a salad, which makes it somewhat healthy.
Exactly. I thought the same thing when I ordered the thing. And we took a taxi ride from the Miracle Mile down there out to the suburbs to where it was at. It's a pretty neat little restaurant.
Well, there's a great little restaurant chain. Somebody will call in and tell us what it is. But it's predominantly there in the Chicago and the Midwest, much like Culver's, which is, I always consider Culver's to be an upscale fast food joint because they have great food. But this one as well, and that's where I had my first, whatever that beef thing they do there in Chicago. And, also the Chicago dog, and just Portello's is the name of the place. I knew it was right there on the tip of my tongue.
They have the Mr. Miz hot dog up on top of the building.
Oh.
Yeah.
So his and her wieners.
I had seen it on a show one day, and I said, well, I go to Chicago, I'm going to try that. And we took a taxi ride out there to it, and they were pretty good hot dogs. So. But anyway, I just thought I'd pass that little tip.
Don, I'm glad you did, and thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening and supporting our good friends at Patriot Talk 920. By the way, Mayor Mamdani, Zohran Mamdani, you know, he announced that they're going to be launching their very first government-owned grocery store. And ladies and gentlemen, the grift involved in all of this is just insane. First of all, it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars for them to start. I want you to listen to cut number 7, please.
This first store is going to cost $30 million. That's nearly half of the $70 million budget that Mayor Mamdani has proposed for all 5 city-run grocery stores. He announced this first one last night at his 101st day celebration. The store is going to be located in East Harlem in La Marqueta, and the plan is for it to be open next year.
We are building a brand new store on city-owned land currently sitting empty in East Harlem. A neighborhood where nearly 40% of households received public assistance or SNAP in the past year.
Because it's on city-owned land, they will not have to pay rent on the property. Mamdani pointed out that grocery prices in the city have increased since the pandemic, but he failed to point out how city-run grocers in other cities have failed to actually help residents. Similar efforts in places like Kansas City have struggled to stay afloat despite millions in taxpayer dollars. Sun Fresh Market permanently closed this August after suffering from high crime, empty shelves, and unsustainable losses. So despite over $17 million in taxpayer investments since 2016, the project failed to provide a stable food source. But it's full steam ahead for city-owned grocery stores here in the Big Apple. Mamdani promised on the campaign trail the grocery stores will be available in each borough. He says that will be accomplished by the end of his term.
Okay, so Dylan, I want you to follow the math here. All right, because I did a little bit of research. We wanted to find out exactly how much it would cost to build a luxury grocery store from the ground up. So you, let's just say you walk out, there's just a giant field, and there's nothing in the field, and you say, I am going to build a brand new Piggly Wiggly, or dare I say, Winn-Dixie. All right, so, and you want it to be high-end. You want it to have all the bells and whistles, right? That, I mean, you want a state-of-the-art grocery store. Now, Zohran Mamdani is saying it's going to take years to build this grocery store. He said that grocery store is not going to open until 2029, and he said it's going to cost $30 million, $30 million to build a grocery store from scratch. And he's really not even building it from scratch. The building is already there, so they're just going to renovate it, and then they're going to stock it with all of their government cheese and whatnot. So again, it's not going to open up until 2029. This is the government now, and then the government grocery store is going to cost $30 million. Dylan, we did some homework, and it turns out that on average, it takes about 6 months to build a grocery store from the ground up. 6 months.
Yikes.
Not 3 years. And if you want to build a, and I'm talking a high end, top of the, you can buy caviar, you can buy Dr. Pepper, you can buy all the good stuff, $5 million. And that's building the building, that's stocking the shelves, and that's everything. $5 million to start up a grocery store. And ladies, are you seeing the grift here, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, this is outrageous, just outrageous. And now Mamdani is, man, is he going after the rich, and he's loving this. He is, I have to say it, pardon the pun, he is relishing this because he is taxing the rich out the wazoo. So now if, let's just say that you've got a little place in New York City, and I'll give you a great example of this. So I was looking into buying this when I was back at Fox News in Trump Tower, Trump International Hotel. That's the one over by Columbus Circle. You can actually buy a little studio apartment there, but you can only live in it for like, I think the rule is like 6 months out of the year. And then the rest of the year, it's turned back over into a hotel room. And then you get revenue based off of that, you know, the hotel fees. And I decided it was a really very economical thing. It was like $1 million. And, you know, that was for that location and for the tower and, you know, the prices. That is actually a really good deal in New York City. But anyway, so let's just say Todd Stearns had gone and purchased that. And my main residence is in Memphis. I would be double taxed. Mamdani wants to double tax people on their properties like that in New York City. And now they're about to advance because, of course, what's happening is with all of the higher taxes and the fees being directed at wealthy people and businesses, guess what's happening? People are moving. So now Mamdani and the Democrats, these communists, they want to tax people to leave New York City. So if you decide we're packing up and leaving, they're going to tax you. You say, this is outrageous. Yes, it's outrageous. But Mamdani told everybody that's what he was going to do. I'm not sure why everybody was surprised. By the way, in New York City, if you live in New York City, Dylan, you're paying a federal income tax, right? You got that. You're paying a state income tax, and then you're paying a city income tax. So you could be making $75,000, $80,000 a year. And if you're making that much money in New York City, $75,000, you're living in poverty. And also, you're living in poverty. It's hard enough making, if you're making $250,000 of a year in New York City, you're just getting by. I mean, that's how expensive it is to live there. But just think about this. You're getting $75,000, and before you even get your check, you've got a good, I don't know, wow, $10,000, $15,000 of that going to taxes. I'm just spitballing here. But that's the problem they've got in New York City. There will be a mass exodus of businesses and peoples leaving that city. That's how bad it is. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, has any reporter in New York City actually Have they done what we do? I mean, you know, we don't take people for granted. Oh, by the way, breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
Okay, it's not really breaking news. We haven't used the button in a while. So yesterday we told you about the whole Erica Kerr thing. So people are coming after me. I am getting destroyed on social media. You evil man going after Erica Kerr. What are you talking about? I haven't gone after Erica Kerr. You know what? I'm going to read what I wrote about Erica Kerr. And Dylan, people are hating. They're hating on yours truly. And I'm a nice guy. Right? I mean, I'm a lovable curmudgeon, I suppose. So anyway, here's what I wrote that caused all you-know-what to break loose. Scrolling it. Wow, I wrote a lot of tweets yesterday. Oh, I had to go vote yesterday, too, by the way. So I wrote on social media about, oh, here we go. This is what I wrote. And this is why they're saying, you're just a mean man. You hate Erica Kirk. You hate Charlie Kirk. You're employed by the Jews. Based on the amount of barbecue we eat here in this company, I'm pretty sure that's not accurate. But anyway, I digress. But here's what I wrote. Whoever made the serious and credible threats against Mrs. Kirk should be hunted down and thrown in jail. Anybody have a problem with that? Does that make it makes me sound like I'm a bad person? I think they ought to be punished. But then I go on. But if there was indeed a serious threat, why was Vice President Vance allowed to take the stage? And we did. We reached out to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation and the Athens Police Department for more details about the nature of the threat and what additional security measures were implemented to protect those in attendance at the TPUSA event. Pray for Mrs. Kirk. You evil man. That's what I wrote. So what they're upset about. Somebody, I got tons of hate mail over this. And here's the gist of it. How dare you question any narrative that comes out of TPUSA? That's it. And I know that TPUSA has unleashed their hounds, and that's fine. But I haven't accused them of anything. I just wanted to know the nature of the threat. And now they're saying, how dare you? How you do not question what we say. I mean, that's it. You do not question what we say. Anyway, CBS News, this is the breaking news part of it. So first of all, we did reach out and we did hear back from the Athens Clark County Police Department there in Georgia. And they say there were no known threats to their knowledge targeting Mrs. Kirk. Then the CBS affiliate in Atlanta reached out to the Secret Service, and the Secret Service said the same thing that the local police said. So you can extrapolate from that whatever you want to say, but again, this is a headline from CBS News. Secret Service determines no credible threats to the UGA rally after Erica Kirk's cancellation. Now, this is not a big deal for me. You know, again, we're just following up, and it was just weird that if there really was a threat, they would have not allowed the vice president to be anywhere near that event. Oh, and the other thing now is this, that all of the empty seats were planned, that it was for – no, stop laughing, Dylan. You're getting me in trouble.
That's just a funny thing to say.
It's true. In all seriousness, they said, no, we were only allowed to have a few hundred people in the – so if that's the case, then why not put it in a smaller room?
They had it at the Baskin-Robbins. Jeez.
I'm not even going to go there. I can't. I can only handle so much hate per day. I've reached my limit. Oh, gosh. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Kathleen is on the line. Kathleen, what is on your mind?
Hi. What's on my mind is I almost hung up. I'm so nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Oh, to talk to you, of course.
Well, there's no reason to be nervous. I'm a lovable curmudgeon. What's going on, Kathleen?
But anyway, I wanted to tell you a cute story about one of my children. My daughter, who's almost 30 years old now, when she was about 4 or 5, she was having a bad dream and maybe sleepwalking. And she came into our bedroom and she said, I don't want to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That was the entire thing. And we have laughed over that story so many times over the years.
I wonder what would have happened if she was just randomly on the road there in Gainesville and all of a sudden she was passed by a 27-foot-long hot dog.
And, well, not only that, we have in the toy room for my grandchildren now a big stuffed Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Is that right?
I wish I had a picture to send you.
Oh, yes, my goodness.
Right. It's vintage.
Wow. What a great memories. What great memories, Kathleen.
It is. Thank you. And thank you for all you do. I appreciate you.
Well, you're so kind to say that. And thank you for listening to WTU. And it's a great radio station. And you guys have a great city, by the way. Beautiful town. Kathleen, I've got to leave it there. But thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, this is cool. Ian is back in the building, in the bunker, and brought us all whistles.
He did exactly what we told him to do.
And a postcard, and sure enough, this is fascinating.
It's very
the,
cool.
It's a postcard showing the Wienermobile through the years. Do you realize the very first Oscar Mayer Wienermobile actually hit the roads in 1936?
Wow. Did they even have cars back in? That's a bad question.
Wow, that's
they had
amazing.
The Wienermobile before. They had the Ford.
Yeah. And by the way, it was like a giant bomb.
It does, yeah. That would be terrifying. And then in 2008, yeah. They had the Mini Cooper.
Oh,
see that?
Oh,
that's,
yeah, like a little Mini.
That's crazy.
Oh, that is weird. Let's go to the phones. Angela, High Point, North Carolina, WSJS. Angela, we have so many important things to talk about today, but we're all about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Exactly, Todd. So I have a funny story because I'm like 62 and I work at a well-known grocery store where they actually brought the Wienermobile. So the first time in my life, I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? And they had it as a special event for our Publix. And that was so hilarious to go out there and see people just go bananas over the Wienermobile. And then yeah, you do. You get your own little personal weenie whistle. And then, but I have to say in defense, I've scoured my house to find mine to do a better whistle call for you. But now that you have your own, you can do it. So, but in defense, it is kind of hard. You have to hold it a certain way, and then you have to figure out which way to turn it. I used to use it to call my dog into the house, but I don't know where it went. I have no idea where it went. And my husband's like, I don't know where mine is either. It's like, okay, well, that was a special event. Now we don't even know where they are.
Angela, love the story. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you an Oscar Mayer Wienermobile Wiener Whistle so you'll have one for your collection.
Yes, I do. I need one.
All right.
Absolutely.
Don't hang up. Angela, don't hang up. We're going to get your info, and we'll send you a wiener whistle. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, yesterday, and by the way, great to have our good friend Luke Symbol, Republican strategist here in studio. And Luke, there's a developing story in the House of Representatives, and I want to go through some audio here, sort of setting the stage. Where the House is about to vote on passing protections for 350 Haitian illegals, and they want to give them what they call TPS, which is temporary protective service. But the problem is, it's never temporary; it's always just permanent, right?
Yep.
So that's the issue. So here is the report from Fox News, cut number 40, please.
The House will be voting later today on a bill that would extend temporary protected status for those Haitians for another 3 years. And there is all sorts of outrage on the right this morning after six House Republicans voted with Democrats yesterday to advance this legislation, voting on a motion to move it forward. Now, that motion passed because of the help from these Republicans, and some of them explained themselves themselves and post on X. New York Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis wrote in part, quote, "These are Haitian immigrants who are working, paying taxes, and contributing to our economy. To strip them of their status and deport them to a country in peril would be uncompassionate and misguided." But other House Republicans who are hawkish on immigration are not happy with this. Texas Republican Congressman Brandon Gill writing, quote, "It is an abomination that any Republican would vote to extend TPS. Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry wrote, quote, "Six Republicans teamed up with Democrats to allow backdoor amnesty for hundreds of thousands of Haitians who came into our country illegally, betraying American citizens." Well, House Democrats now feel wind in their sails, and they are urging the House to extend Haitian TPS when they vote today.
Haitian TPS holders are parents. They are most definitely caregivers. They're small business owners, healthcare providers. They are the essential threads in the fabric of our communities.
Okay. By the way, these are the six lawmakers. Maria Salazar, who is also behind the Dignity Act, the Don Bacon, Brian Fitzpatrick, Carlos Jimenez, Nicole Malliotakis, and Mike Lawler. Luke, what say you?
It's disgusting. And how many times do the American people have to tell Republicans, but really the entire country in these elections, that we want no more immigration now? Yeah. We don't want anything. And even DHS Secretary Mullins was on Fox News last night saying, we are a nation of immigrants and we want legal immigrants. No, no, we don't right now. We have so many foreign-born individuals in this country. We need to assimilate the ones already here. And Haitians are not Americans. They are Haitians. And I think it's very nice that they were here for a little bit, but now they can go back home.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, here is Secretary Mullins. Let's take a listen.
What is going on?
Unfortunately, TPS turns into a permanent status.
No,
we have
shouldn't.
People that's been here for 30 years. And then when we say we're going to end a protected status for you, they end up coming in and saying, well, wait a second. It's inhumane because we are married. We have family. We have kids here. We have grandkids here. Well, we work here. And now we're going to send you back home. But it was never supposed to be permanent. And that's the problem is that when you start extending these programs, they become permanent. And I have a real hard, I have a hard issue with TPS to begin with, because we don't ever end it. We always extend it. We have asylum laws here, and if you need asylum and you can prove that you have asylum, we're pretty generous in that.
Very small percentage.
But it is a very small percentage, but that's what I'm saying. If you can prove it, which is the president has tightened that up. I mean, President Trump, we have tightened the asylum language
up. It's been brilliant. The border, brilliant lockdown. They're not accepting the fake asylees. Right. But they would extend their stay in the United
States.
We're
not for that.
Till January 20th, 2029, President Trump's last day in office.
Yes, and we are not for that.
I mean, what in the world is going on here? I'm not understanding. Are they in tight races in their congressional districts here? Is that what they're after?
They're out of touch. And immigration is a really, if you look at the voter, they are screaming. Independents, Republicans, and some working class Democrats are saying we are so tired of having to compete. For wages against these immigrants. We are so tired to have to compete for housing. When you look at the insane housing costs over the past 5 years in this country, the housing inflation, that is a direct result of letting millions and millions of people into the country. And I don't know how many more times we elected Donald Trump, for goodness sakes. That golden escalator speech when he came down in 2015 and was widely mocked by the political class and the mainstream media, but that was an immigration message. The American people heard it, and by golly, we elected him president against all odds twice. Well, maybe even three times, but twice.
Look, no, it's
what more can
now.
We
careful.
Say? What more can we say, though?
No, it's a great point, and again, we have got, you know, when you tie in the Save America Act, which is still languishing, and that's not going anywhere. I think John Thune the other day said, well, you know, now we just don't have any time. You know, we've run out of time. I've been warning people about this since March.
Yes, you have.
If, you know, of last year, that if we did not get a move on, we were going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, even here locally, Todd, you and I are both based in the Memphis area. Even here locally, the election commissioner or administrator, rather, came out and said, well, if the SAVE Act passes, we just don't have enough time to get it done. You are exactly right. And it's just so frustrating when the American people have been so clear on various issues, when they are so in favor of voter ID, when they are so in favor of reducing immigrations, ending all illegal immigration, sending all illegal aliens home, and reducing the legal immigration numbers. The country has been very clear, and yet our elected leaders, they're supposed to be representatives, refuse to fight and represent our positions.
I want to switch gears. There's a bit of drama in Tennessee, of all places, in the Nashville area. Now, a lot of folks may not realize, but we had tons of Muslims that were relocated to Tennessee, predominantly in the Murfreesboro area and around the Nashville area in Middle Tennessee. And now we have not one but two schools that are funded by tax dollars that are fully embracing the Islamic faith traditions. What do you make of that? What's going on?
What is going on is mass migration. This gets back to the immigration issue. When you have mass migration and millions of people coming into this country and not assimilating, you know, we forget that in the 1920s, we completely shut down immigration because Americans were so appalled at some of the, you know, the large numbers of foreign born in the country. And then we had for like 50, 60 years, we had very intensive assimilation in our public schools. We had pro-American classes. When you grew up, even in the early 90s, this was still the case. You're a grand old flag. You know, you would sing these songs, these pro-American songs in school. You would learn about what a good country or nation was, and you were assimilating immigrants into the country. But now our public schools teach you to hate America. We have so many immigrants coming in that they stay in their little pods and they don't assimilate. And that's that. What we're seeing in the Nashville area with public schools now accommodating Muslim prayer schedules is a direct result of mass migration, and we have to end it now.
You know, it's interesting when you look at what's happening nationwide with the rise of Islam in places like Texas, for example. You know, at some point, this must be addressed, and if it is not, then we're just going to be overrun. And I know the Pope is out there saying, well, you know, Muslims are really nice people, and you know, they don't, you know, they're not there to proselytize you or whatever. You know what? Try opening up a Catholic church in downtown Tehran and let me know how that goes.
Yep. I would like to send all of those Muslim immigrants he wants to come into every other Western country. Let's send them to the Vatican. Let's see how it goes when we give them thousands and thousands of Muslim immigrants in the Vatican, and we can see if he still has that same position. You know, I elected Donald Trump as my president. I did not elect the Pope.
By the way, Mitt Romney is back in the headlines. And this is interesting. We've been very critical of Mitt Romney over the years and that incredibly failed presidential run where he just simply refused to criticize Barack Obama. But Mitt Romney is back, and he's actually giving President Trump some compliments here. Take a listen to Cut 31.
And what about the Republican Party? Do you feel like that we're where they are? I mean, do you feel like on immigration, I mean, there's a lot of policies where people would say, you know, they are extreme in their own way. And does that?
Well, both parties are creating their own problems. I think what the president did to secure our border is wisely done and very popular. I think some of the ICE actions throughout Minnesota and other places is seen by people as being unnecessarily brutal. And has hurt the president's popularity. So some things I think the president's done that make a lot of sense that are politically attractive. Other things I think are more harmful. I have a list of things where I agree with President Trump, and it's a good long list. Then I have a list of things where I disagree with him, but I understand his logic and say, you know, he may be right. I may be wrong. I'm not right on everything.
Wow. Where was that the past few years? But I will say people forget Mitt Romney was our best presidential candidate up to that point in 2012 on immigration. His immigration policy was, we are going to make it so difficult for illegal aliens here to get jobs that they will go home naturally. He was very strong on immigration, and people forget that.
It's he just ran such a horrible campaign. I remember that there was a documentary that was done after the election, right? And everybody was watching the documentary, and people were like weeping. It was moving and emotional. We're like, why didn't we show that? You know, why didn't we launch that during the RNC? It might have made a difference. But the fact that he just simply refused to go after Obama and call him for what he really was, you know, that was doomed from the start.
You're right. He refused to call out the race baiting by the Obama administration. He refused to call out the immigration problems. Now, and again, like I said, some of Mitt Romney's policies when he ran were really, really good, but they just, he did not know how to message it to the American people. And then we had Paul Ryan on the vice presidential side. But, you know, Trump has changed the party for the better, but unfortunately we still have to hold these Republicans accountable, like on this immigration issue.
By the way, we do have a little bit of breaking news here. Go ahead, Bella. We gotta do it.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
So we can now say that seven House Republicans voted to protect 350,000 Haitian illegals, and the new name to the list, I'll just read them all out: Don Bacon, Mario Diaz-Balart, Brian Fitzpatrick, Carlos Jimenez, Mike Lawler, Nicole Malliotakis, and Maria Salazar. Those are the rogue Republicans who voted with the Democrats.
This is very similar to the Gang of Eight amnesty bill, and the only person left standing is Marco Rubio, and I think he's redeemed himself. Let's primary these folks and get them out of office.
What's going on here with young voters, Gen Z voters? They do seem to be really turned off right now. And I know there are a lot of people that are trying to excuse whatever happened in Georgia with the empty auditorium that Vance spoke in. Number one, who on Vance's team thought that was a good idea? They should have come up with an immediate reason for him to back out. Yeah. I would have gone with this. And I think that's ultimately why Erica Kirk didn't show up, is that she just, you know, It was embarrassing.
It was
a dud.
Not good. And, young Americans are discouraged. I think they're very discouraged by the Middle Eastern conflict in Iran, and that's why we have to wrap it up quickly. Whether it was right to go in or not, I think they're discouraged by it. Young people are motivated by the American first message. And unfortunately, I think some of that messaging has gone to the wayside. And it's discouraging for young people. And turning point, I think I really thought a lot of Charlie Kirk. I do not think a lot of the current leadership.
Well, there is none. Yeah. And I think that's the problem. There is no vision and there's no leadership. And they're just floundering right now.
I agree. It's unfortunate. And I really, really, really hope that we can wrap some of these distractions up so that we can focus on the message that was a winning message in 2024.
Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I mean, we're seeing a lot of, you know, I mean, the president's plan, it's perfect and makes sense. But you know what? There are still boys and girls locker rooms, boys on those girls' teams. I mean, we see the news reports every single day.
Yep.
You talk about illegal immigration. Are we actually deporting people? We may be, and they're just not publicizing it. That's an issue. The Department of Education has not been defunded. And when you look at crime, and for example, Memphis, Tennessee, we're back to being a war zone again.
We need to focus again on the issues here at home. And I think, unfortunately, again, whether the Iranian conflict, whether it was right for us to go in or not, it's sucking all the oxygen out of the room and sucking the oxygen out of our messaging.
And here's how bad it is. I mean, this is insane. So Democrats are still trailing. The latest CNN polling, Democrats are still trailing Republicans by 4 points in the midterms. So if the Republicans would just focus and deliver on the president's agenda, they're going to win in huge numbers in the fall.
Maybe you need to start running the caucus marketing. Do you want to do the PR?
I'm happy to do it. I'll volunteer.
Right.
They say I'm already being paid by the Jews. So, you know, I've got, you know, I'll do it free.
There you go.
Unbelievable. Somebody called me a Newsmax butt wipe yesterday, and they misspelled wipe. W-Y-P-E. I'm like, really, guys? Come on.
Sounds like a smart criticism.
Got to use spell check. Got to use spell check. All right, Luke Symbol, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, so the pro-Haitian migrant amnesty bill has now officially been extended for 3 more years, supported by seven Republican lawmakers, and we'll post all of that information online so you can see that for yourself. I want to give a big shout out to Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signing a resolution for the month of June, declaring June as Nuclear Family Month, and the gay rights crowd they've lost their ever-loving minds. The governor saying that the nuclear family, consisting of one husband, one wife, and any biological, adopted, or fostered children is God's design for family and has been the bedrock of society since the creation of the world. Wow, that is going to seriously rile up a bunch of folks there in at least the LGBT crowd. But good for you, Governor Bill Lee. Ladies and gentlemen, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. And by the way, you can watch the Todd Stern Show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. We have a jam-packed lineup today. You're going to love it. By the way, according to our friends at Newsmax, 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen says this is true, and he says there are 5 key strategies to increase your Social Security benefits. So it doesn't matter if you're already getting benefits or you're going to be getting benefits. You need to read the Social Security report. Give them a call right now. Write this number down, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to send it to you right away, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, coming up in the next hour, Congressman David Kostoff joins us. He's going to weigh in on this vote that was just had on Haitian illegals. Also has something to say about the Save America Act, so we'll get into all of that, as well as the big scandals up on Capitol Hill. We're going to be taking your calls as well. Also, be sure to head over to ToddStearns.com right now, and you'll be able to read all of our brand new stories just posted. And also be sure to sign up for our podcast. You can listen to all 3 hours of the show wherever you are, whenever you want to, at ToddStearns.com.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. This segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Field of Greens. Field of Greens, designed to support your cells, your heart, lungs, and kidneys, and also healthy weight. As a matter of fact, a university study found people who took Field of Greens saw measurable improvements in key health markers. Just one change literally changed everything, and that's why I want you to check out Field of Greens. One scoop once a day, done. Make Field of Greens your smart change this year. Check them out, fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Starnes gets you 20% off. That's promo code Starnes at fieldofgreens.com. Well, great to have you with us for this final hour of today's broadcast day. Congressman David Kostoff joining us in just a little while. But I want to go to a conversation that we had on the Newsmax show last night with Congressman Todd Schweikert, Congressman Schweikert, the congressman touching base on a lot of big issues, including the big scandals. Let's take a listen.
We did take a look at the roll call vote, and it turns out you were just one of 65 members of Congress who voted to release those records. I just don't get it. This is a no-brainer to me. I'm just wondering why Republicans, all the Republicans, did not vote to release those records.
Todd, if I could figure that out, I would be a much happier member of Congress.
You know, Congressman, it's just really despicable knowing that we've got high school kids, college kids serving as pages and interns, young staffers. I mean, how difficult is it to tell these grown adults, keep your hands off the interns, keep your hands off the teenagers?
Look, it's worse than I think you or I will ever truly understand. A dozen years ago, we had pages, you know, 200 years of pages being here in Congress, and we had to get rid of them because we had a member in Florida and apparently others who are being inappropriate with these young people. So, look, I got to share a philosophy with you. When it's taxpayer money, whether it be the research done on the Kennedy assassination or the Epstein files or UFOs or what happens here in Congress, the public deserves the information. How do you build trust in a republic? You know, for a republic to work, you need to have the population believe in it. And right now, let's be honest, do our voters actually trust our government?
It's a great question, Congressman. I know the House Oversight Committee, they've subpoenaed these slush fund records. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna, she serves on the committee, mm-hmm. says they are going to be releasing them. And, quote, maybe we will see even more resignations. Is she just blowing smoke here, Congressman? Or based on what you know and what you've heard, do you think we may have some more folks jumping ship?
I can't answer that. I have, look, there's a few of our members, whether it be alcohol, being inappropriate with members, where's the ethical moral standard up and down the ledger? My passion is everything should be open to the public. If it's your money, if there's not a security interest, if there's not a national security interest, why don't you deserve to know? Why don't the voters deserve to know?
Look, that's a great question. I know Swalwell, by the way, Arizona Senator Ruben Gallego have described each other as best friends for years now. Swalwell's scandal now threatening to take his best friend down with him. Here's the senator, what he had to say.
Eric Swalwell lied to all of us. We all heard rumors in Washington, D.C. about Eric Swalwell for many years.
What were the rumors that you heard? What were the rumors?
It was flirty. That was flirty.
And that was when? About what year was it?
I mean, that was through, we've heard that. We've heard that throughout.
Senator, you've gone on trips, on vacations, officially, unofficially. You've never even witnessed him, I don't know, engaging in an affair?
No.
Never.
What about?
No.
Congressman, you buying what the senator's selling?
Oh, and look, I'm from Arizona. I love my state. I have trouble sometimes believing he's my U.S. senator. But you did hear the irony in his statement. I heard the rumors. Do you know how many rumors over the years we've heard about Ruben? And here becomes the battle we often have is when you see smoke, is there fire? Is there research? And think about this. For Eric Swalwell, it wasn't until a Democrat functionally found a way to get this information leaked out that it came crashing down. It sort of shows you that the Democrats do a much better job protecting their own and attacking us. I want a system where everyone is held to the same standard and the public gets to know what everyone is doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. Real quick, though, before I let you go, I just want to circle back here. If those files are released, would you anticipate more people leaving Congress?
It's unknowable at this point. But if there's some salacious things in there, if they don't leave, elections are coming, and the voters will handle that.
Yeah.
All right, there you go, Congressman Schweikert. Good to have him with us on the show. Well, I've got to play this audio. This is Zohran Mamdani. We were talking about this earlier, that he's announcing a new tax on all property worth over $5 million if the owner does not live in New York City full time. Cut 28, please.
When I ran for mayor, I said I was going to tax the rich. Well, today, we're taxing the rich. I'm thrilled to announce we've secured a pied-à-terre tax, the first in New York's history. This is an annual fee on luxury properties worth more than $5 million, whose owners do not live full-time in the city. Like for this penthouse, which hedge fund CEO Ken Griffin bought for $238 million. This pied-à-terre tax is specifically designed for the richest of the rich, those who store their wealth in New York City real estate, but who don't actually live here. But even so, they're able to reap the huge financial rewards of owning property in, dare I say, the greatest city in the world. And most of the time, these units are sitting empty, since again, they don't actually live here. This is a fundamentally unfair system that hurts working New Yorkers. Now, it's coming to an end. This tax will raise at least $500 million directly for the city. It'll help fund things like free childcare, cleaner streets, and safer neighborhoods. As mayor,
I believe everyone has a role to play in contributing to our city, and some a little bit more than others. Happy Tax Day, New York.
Jeez, Lou. Happy Tax Day. He's taxing you out the wazoo. That's what the mayor is going to do. All right, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War. You know, he's a religious guy. Here's the thing about the war secretary, and I think you have to be careful here, is that we don't need to be turning what's happening in Iran right now into a holy war. And it certainly appears that a lot of the Christian lingo that's coming out of the Pentagon these days, it's a little eyebrow raise. So anyway, now Hegseth is comparing in a roundabout way, comparing the Lord to President Trump. And Hegseth, I don't think he intentionally meant to do it, but he was going after the press corps. And instead of calling them, you know, a bunch of sorry so-and-sos, he calls them, well, a group of Pharisees. I want you to listen to Cut 37.
Our press are just like these Pharisees. Not
oh,
all of
hold
you.
Hold on. My apologies. I want to go back because you need to hear the longer version of this. Cut 38, please.
A note to the press, to the press corps, to the American media. As I just can't help but notice the endless stream of garbage, the relentlessly negative coverage you cannot resist peddling, despite the historic and important success of this effort and the success of our troops. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what side some of you are actually on. It's incredibly unpatriotic. This same press corps, not this exact same press corps, but at least an older press corps, bent over backwards during the Biden administration to explain away the disastrous and disgraceful Afghanistan withdrawal. You called it the greatest airlift in American history. It's almost like you're cheering only for one side. This past Sunday, I was sitting in church with my family, and our minister preached from the book of Mark, the third chapter. And in the passage, Jesus entered a synagogue and healed a man with a withered hand. The Pharisees came to watch. And as the scripture reads, they came to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. You see, the Pharisees, the so-called and self-appointed elites of their time, they were there to witness, to write everything down, to report. But their hearts were hardened. Even though they witnessed a literal miracle, it didn't matter. They were only there to explain away the goodness in pursuit of their agenda. As the passage ends, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel against him, how to destroy him. I sat there in church and I thought, our press are just like these Pharisees. Not all of you, but the legacy Trump-hating press. Your politically motivated animus for President Trump nearly completely blinds you from the brilliance of our American warriors. The Pharisees scrutinized every good act in order to find a violation, only looking for the negative. The hardened hearts of our press are calibrated only to impugn. I would ask you to open your eyes to the goodness, the historic success of our troops, the courage of this president, and this historic moment for a deal that could end the Iranian nuclear threat.
All right, so there you go. And Hegseth goes on, and we're on a line, and it's a difficult situation. But he is, if you are listening to what Hegseth is saying, I mean, this is basically a holy war is what we're involved in now. And I'm not sure that's what Trump wants, but that's certainly the language that Hegseth is using. And when you've got the war secretary quoting from the Bible on a regular basis and bringing up this sort of imagery, how could you not see that? Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Doug is on the line. Hi, Doug. What say you?
Well, what I say is that, first of all, Hegseth wasn't talking about the Iranians as the Farsi. He was equating the United States mass media as the Farsi, and so that's one thing we need to clear up. But I don't see any problem in making this a clear fight of a holy war. These people for 47 years have been chanting death to America. They base it on their religion. You can go online and see Oman or whatever they're called, their leaders, over and over again talking about taking the Christians out. They're doing it throughout Europe. Now, let's put in the caveat. We always have to say, well, it's not all Muslims. No, it's not all Muslims. But let me tell you, I don't hear any Muslims talking about being patriotic and saying, I'm not that kind of a Muslim. I'm a good Muslim. No. Todd, more than ever, somebody says to me, you know what, you're Islamophobia. I go, yeah, I'm phobia for sure, because I have a very strong sense of survival. And when people say they want me dead because I'm a Christian, and we've seen them doing it around the world, then I'm ready to fight back. So, yeah, let us not soft pedal this. If we need to call it a holy war, let's go for it, man. I've got no problem with it. So, hey, by the way, I always love you. You know what? I don't even miss Rush Limbaugh anymore. You just do it so well.
Well, thank you for that, Doug, and I appreciate it. We do miss Rush. I miss Rush. But I want to go back to your point here. I hear what you're saying, but if this is a holy war, then that needs to be explained to the American people, because right now I'm not sure anybody really understands why we're fighting over there. And if that's the issue, if this administration has decided now is the time to put a stop to the clear and present danger, which is Islam, okay, well, let's have that conversation. But I don't think that's what Trump is wanting here. I mean, it may be what Hegseth wants, but I don't know if that's necessarily what Trump wants. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but that could be that is not going to be resolved in the next couple of weeks if we're involved in a holy war.
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think it's terrible to say it's a holy war. To me, that's secondary. Of course, let's stop their aggression. But I don't think we should feel bad about saying that this has heavy leanings towards the holy war. We want regime change. We do not want these thugs who are running that country, a theocracy of like a mafia theocracy. So all I'm saying is, don't feel bad about saying it. Let's not make it the primary. No, we don't have to go out there and go, holy war, because you know what that's going to do to the left, because they hate religion unless it's, you know, they hate anything having to do with Christianity. They love Islam. That's all I'm saying. Don't be afraid to say there are very strong opinions among Americans. I'm an American who feel that, you know what? If we get rid of this, if we can shut Islam down, if we can put Islam in their place, because they've been riding it. They're the leaders. They're overtaking London. They're overtaking all the small cities in England, France, Germany. I'm sorry. They're winning, and we're just, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
No, Doug, I hear you. I've got a break here, so we're going to have to cut you off. But I hear what you're saying, and I've said everything that you've just said on this program multiple times over the years. I think the administration just needs to be honest with folks if that's what this really is, a holy war. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Dylan, I find this fascinating. I'm looking at the video, and we're going to be posting this over on the social medias, but Ian, the intern, was actually given an exclusive tour into the innards of the Wiener Mobile.
Yes, he did. It's very cool in there, actually.
It's really very pleasant. It's chilly, yes. this dog was very chilly, and I was, it looked very roomy.
Yeah, it looks like a Sprinter van almost. It's mm-hmm. got like six seats in there. You can fit a whole family.
Has a hot dog right there. I don't know if that's like, you know, most people, like when you have the you know, the emergency things that pop out of the steering wheel, the
right.
cushions.
Yeah.
I guess in this case it's a giant hot dog.
Yeah, and also if you notice in the video that he sent us, the keys were still in the hot dog truck.
I'd have jumped in the seat.
Yeah.
We'd have gone for a little stroll. It's a missed opportunity. But again, I was, I guess though, with the emergency cushions, if it was a hot dog, it might impale you. So that probably, they probably have to rethink that.
It's a good point.
Yeah. Also, did you notice there was a sunroof?
Yeah. This thing has everything.
I'm impressed.
I'm wondering how they clean these hot dog trucks. Is it like firefighters? Do they have to do a daily cleanse?
I don't get a bunch of cheerleaders out there.
Make it a whole event.
That would cause an accident, probably. I think, on the highway. But 1936, that was the very first time the Wienermobile, and it's brought miles and miles of smiles to kids of all ages. I would add grown-ups to that as well. So anyway, welcome to Memphis. Hang tight, everybody. Congressman David Kostoff coming up next. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from Tennessee, my congressman, David Kostoff. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. It's never dull in Washington, D.C.
No, well, to say the least. We do have a little bit of a breaking news to share from the White House, where apparently a guy tried to jump the fence and a Secret Service agent was injured, the guy taken into custody, but a little bit of a hullabaloo there, to your point of all sorts of crazy things are happening in Washington. You know, Congressman, I understand that you guys just voted on this effort to extend what many are calling amnesty to the Haitian illegal immigrants. And our numbers are, what, 7 Republicans joined with the Dems on this?
Actually, Todd, I think it was 10. So to your point, the vote just happened within the last 15 minutes. I voted against it. The vote in favor was 224 yes, 204 no, so the bill passes. And I was looking at the vote total board, as the vote was taking place, I think there were 10 Republicans and maybe one independent that voted in favor. So it did pass the House of Representatives. I can't imagine that this faces a vote or gets a vote in the United States Senate. To your point, Mark Wayne Mullen, who is the new DHS secretary, has said that this process that the Haitians were given under the TPS, or Temporary Protective Service status, rather, was meant to be temporary. It certainly was not meant to be extended over and over and over again, but it did pass the House of Representatives just in the last 15 or 20 minutes by a vote of 224 to 204.
All right. Well, that's some breaking news then. And again, it's just so frustrating to see, and I get it. A lot of these lawmakers may live in districts where that is a big issue, but the reality is it really flies in the face of the president's agenda, especially in a time, you know, we're getting close to the midterms, and, you know, people are getting nervous that the president's agenda is not being advanced.
Well, Todd, let me take it one step further. I mean, we were talking substance. I'll talk process with you for just a moment. You know, the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader decide what gets voted on in the House of Representatives and what doesn't get voted on. There's one way around that the minority can use, and that's what's called a discharge petition. And so if there are 218 members of Congress that sign a discharge petition, that forces a vote on something, usually something minority-led. And in this case, there were all the Democrats that signed the discharge petition to force a vote, and there were several Republicans that joined with the Democrats to force a vote on this. If it had been up to Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise, the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader, this would not have come up for a vote, but some of our colleagues joined with the Democrats. They took the floor away from the majority, gave it to the minority, and we voted on what we just voted on.
Congressman, I think I understand. Look, I mean, if we're going to get into the nitty gritty, I can understand why they did what they did, you know, talking about, you know, reaching across the aisle. The problem here is the Democrats never compromise. They never work across the aisle on the big, big issues of the day. And I think it gives, it really puts the Republicans in a difficult position, especially when it comes time for re-election, which is just, you know, we're moving into that time right now. And again, I hope that people have short-term memory, you know, issues, but because otherwise this is going to impact, I think, some voters out there who say, what is the point of voting for Republicans?
Well, look, I understand the criticism, and we shouldn't have voted on this in the first place. We shouldn't have had our colleagues that joined with the Democrats to force this vote. It won't get anywhere in the United States Senate, but the fact of the matter is we had this vote. We've done a lot of good things under President Trump and with his leadership, and we've got obviously, what, 7 more months to go before the November election, and there are going to be a lot of issues where we're going to have to put our big boy and big girl pants on and take these votes that the people of this country wanted us to take and the positions they wanted us to uphold from the November 2024 election.
Congressman, I'm curious. We haven't heard a lot of scuttlebutt about the Save America Act. We know it is hung up in the Senate. The Majority Leader John Thune pretty clear that the filibuster will not be nuked. There will not be a standing talking filibuster. And then I believe yesterday he went before the cameras and he said, well, you know, even if we wanted to do something now, we just don't have the time, which is what I was sounding the alarm last March in 2025. And I said, folks, you better start watching the clock here and the calendar, because that is going to be an issue. And sure enough, here we are. And, well, it looks like it's going to become an issue.
So we, by the way, Todd, the President of the United States has said very clearly, the bill is called the Save America Act. Now, there are some people who call it the Save Act. It's the Save America Act. I was honored to fly back with him on Air Force, flew up with him on Air Force One and flew back with him on Air Force One to Memphis, to and from Memphis when he was there for the Memphis Safe Task Force Roundtable. He was very clear, it's the Save America Act. We have voted on this in the House of Representatives at least twice. It has passed the House of Representatives twice. I do hear from my constituents in West Tennessee that it's pretty important for them, that they want to make sure that we have election integrity across the nation. They're actually, by the way, they're pretty satisfied with the way we conduct elections in Tennessee, because one thing in Tennessee is when you go vote, you do have to show a photo ID, which is part of the Save America Act. I think in order for it to get done in the Senate, it's probably the Save America Act is probably going to be attached to something that has to be voted on, whether that's the National Defense Authorization Act or some appropriation bill or something. It's going to be where the hand of the Senate is forced, if you will, to take that vote.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. Yesterday, early voting started in Tennessee, and I went down to my where I go and vote in Germantown. And sure enough, walk in, I know every single person in that room. And the first person they say, Mr. Starnes, we have to see your ID, please. and I love that. You know, I think that's great. And then I ask for a paper ballot. And I think that irritates people. But I always want to, I don't trust the machines. I want to be able to circle it in myself. But to your point, you know, is that they want to make sure that I am who I say I am. And I think that's a very reasonable thing. I think that is a thing that every single person in this country ought to be able to do.
Todd, if you were getting on an airplane, the TSA agents would demand to see your photo ID. If you were going to buy an alcoholic beverage at some restaurant in Memphis or Germantown, they would card you. You would need to show that you are who you are. If you were going to open up a bank account anywhere, you would have to show a photo ID. It's a safeguard. It's not intrusive. It is something that I think most people expect in this day and age. And again, it goes to protect the integrity of our elections by showing a photo ID. And that's one of the things that the Save America Act requires.
Congressman David Kustoff from Tennessee, my congressman, is joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Congressman, tonight we're going to be interviewing Chad Bianco, who is running for governor in California. There's some brand new polling data out from California, Emerson poll, and it shows that Steve Hilton and Bianco are the are currently leading in the polls, which is rather extraordinary. And I mean, if these numbers hold, you would have the two people in the general election would actually be the Republicans running against each other in the jungle primary. Of course, all the scandal with Swalwell and all that kind of stuff. But the point of the question is this. It just seems to me, and CNN had some polling data out yesterday, that Democrats are still 4 points behind the Republicans. I think the Republicans have a good shot of actually doing quite well in the midterms if we actually deliver on more of the president's agenda. What are you hearing from your constituents in West Tennessee?
So my constituents in West Tennessee, they want us to act like Republicans. And they, you know, you raised the point a moment ago, why do Democrats stick together and Republicans don't? I hear that. I hear concerns, you know, that people voted for the president. They want to see more of his agenda enacted. I will say that, and Todd, I don't think he gets enough credit for this, because I'm convinced that a lot of Donald Trump voters, one of their, it may have been their top priority, was securing the southern border. And he did it. He did it in the first few months after he went into office in January of 2025. He does not get enough credit for that. And I do, when I'm out at my Kiwanis clubs and my farm bureaus and everywhere I speak, I remind people that, you know, during the Biden years, we were seeing these thousands and thousands of migrations, unlawful migrations, each and every month under Biden. That has stopped under President Trump because he did what the people asked him to do. So part of it is people they do have they've got concerns about the way the country is going. Part of it is it's my job to remind them what we've accomplished in these in this first year and 3 months of the Donald Trump administration.
Mm. All right. Well, Congressman, we always appreciate you joining us, and know you're a busy guy getting ready for the big reelection. I mean, you're up for reelection, and I see you making all the rubber chicken dinners out there. I don't know how you guys keep up the pace.
You know what? That is part of the job. Our founding fathers, they wanted the members of the House of Representatives to stay close to the people. And I think if you do the job effectively, you're out there visiting with your constituents. And I've got a big territory, 20 counties in the 8th Congressional District of Tennessee. But it's an honor. And, you know, that makes me a better legislator by not only telling them what's going on in Washington, D.C., but more importantly, Todd, to listen to them about what's on their mind and what their concerns are.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. And again, we always appreciate you coming on the program. And we wish you were here in Memphis, because we've got, I don't know if you heard, but we had the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and it is moving through your congressional district today.
Well, Todd, I encourage everybody, if they eat hot dogs, all beef.
It's kosher.
The all beef, they're just better tasting hot dogs.
No, you know what? You know, you're absolutely right about that. I'm an all beef guy as well. So we keep it kosher here on the Todd Stearns radio show.
Well, that sounds about right.
All right. Congressman. All right. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
All right. It's wow. So here's the deal, folks. This is we never plan these things out. So it just so. But who knew that, you know, Oscar Mayer Wieners would be such a hot topic here on the program? You just never know. Okay, before we go to break, let's go to we'll catch a call here. Bill, OG Bill in Cordovan, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. OG Bill, what's going on?
Hey, my friend Todd, it's good to be on the show again. Thanks for picking me up. I appreciate that. I was calling because I'm sensing a little bit of urgency with this upcoming election. I had to call the election commission to find out when the election was, and nobody seems to know. I've asked people, you know, if they know when the primary is, and nobody knows. It's May 5th. We need to do a better job as a Republican Party, the Shelby County Republican Party, the East Memphis Shelby County Republican Party group, all of those groups need to do a better job of getting Republicans out to vote and letting them know when the election is, because if you don't know when to vote, you're not going to vote. And that's just the bottom line. And I think that's been a big part of our problem over the last few years. And I haven't even gotten a sample ballot yet. And the election's, what, a week and a half away?
Yeah, there is an election coming up, and yeah, it's true. It's weird, you know, depending on where you are in the nation, and everybody's got their own dates. And I do think that the political parties do need to do a better job of getting that information out there to folks. I think also, you know, we have a responsibility as good citizens. You know, I actually had to look all that stuff up yesterday online. So you have to go to the website and find out when all the elections are. Because you don't want to miss one. But I think it's a valid point. You know, we heard about this. Somebody called in yesterday, day before yesterday, from Georgia. And they said one of the things about the vice president and why there was such a small crowd is that they said nobody really advertised it. So if you're not going to get the advertising or the marketing out there, yeah, I can see why people may not go and vote.
I agree. And we've got to do a better job of that. We have to get off our butts and vote. I'm not going to use the word I started to use, but you can extrapolate.
You know, it's okay. You can say derriere on the show. That's
we
fine.
Have to get off our derriere and vote.
Yeah, that is. That's it. That's it. No, by OG Bill, you're absolutely right. All right, my good friend. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
I got one more little quick thing. Can I say it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, go right ahead.
I am an all-beef hot dog person.
Are you? Thank you for sharing that. I know that was important for you to get. Thank you for.
It was. I was listening to the congressman on the last segment, and I just had to throw that in because it's important, you know.
It is important. I'm glad you were able to come out of the hot dog closet there. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you had to. So,
thanks, Bill.
Well, thanks for having me on. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
All right. Dylan, what have we done here?
I don't know. This is 2 days in a row, hot dog theme.
I know.
Actually, it's been most of the week.
Oh my goodness!
It's
yeah,
okay.
I tell you, I could go for a hot dog right now. I'm not gonna lie.
You might as well.
I want a chili slaw dog.
Yeah,
I'm about two chili slaw dogs away from a cardiac arrest, but it would be worth it if you got to go. That's the way to go.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. Dylan, which end do you blow? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
What are you talking about?
The hot dog.
Oh. You,
The wiener whistle.
So it's the one that's kind of curving upwards, I think.
Okay, I'm just going to set that aside.
Okay. You're actually giving that one away, so you can't do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have some disturbing breaking news. I don't want you to use the alarm. Don't use the alarm,
okay?
Because this is terrifying. Apparently, a popular prescription anxiety medication has been recalled. Oh, my God! What?
Gen Zers are heard screaming worldwide.
Xanax. This wow. is not good. You're going to have a lot of freaked out people running around. Food and Drug Administration. Yeah, they're recalling the 3-milligram tablets of Xanax sold in the 60-tablet bottles. Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, you never want to. You don't want to tell somebody that, after, especially if they've got anxiety issues. And yeah, that's not good at all. All right. Well, what a weird day, right? Just what a weird show. But anyway, we broke history here in conservative talk radio by going live from the Wienermobile. And, it's been, all in all, a pretty good show. All right. Here's what we're going to do, folks. Tomorrow, Open Line Friday. Love for you to call in. Whatever you want to talk about, you're going to be able to talk about on tomorrow's show. Don't forget to pre-order today a copy of my brand new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax 2, The Todd Stern Show. We have a great lineup, a lot of fun conversations, and we're going to be back on the radio tomorrow, noon o'clock. Get out there and be good, everybody.